light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله the prophet of mankind the peace of our hearts and mind the most generous and kind صلى الله عليه وسلم is reported to have said whosoever recites a single salat upon me Allah Almighty bestows 10 mercies upon him An angel is specially appointed for that salat until he conveys it to me. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya habibi ya rasulullah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad, nurin min nurillah. Marhaba, marhaba. Khushamdeed. Welcome once again to another episode in the series The Light of Guidance. Alhamdulillah, you are watching Madani Channel and at the moment we are broadcasting this episode all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa. Another beautiful excellence of Durood Sharif I have in front of me which I would like to mention to you and this is mentioned in Kanzul Umman Sharif. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Man salla alayya fi yawmin mi'ata marratin. That the one who sends salat upon me 100 times in a single day. Qadallahu lahu mi'ata hajatin. Allah Ta'ala will fulfill 100 of his needs. Sab'ina minha li'akhiratihi. 70 in the hereafter. 70 of those needs are in the hereafter. Wa thalathina minha lidunyahu. 30 in the world. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must prepare ourselves. And one of the best methods is self-rectification, in which we need to ponder. We need to look at ourselves, look at our heart. You know, do this muhasabah, self-contemplation, you can even call it. So that is something very important. And to begin today's discussion, a wonderful incident I have mentioned in front of me of a person in Bani Israel. And this incident is mentioned in Duratul Nasihin that there was a Ibadat Guzar, a worshipper in Bani Israel. And he spent his nights engaged in the Ibadat and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And during the day, he would sell goods to the people. And he had a habit that he would hold himself accountable. In other words, he would say, Oh nafs, fear Allah ta'ala. And he speak to himself, Oh nafs, don't do this, fear Allah Ta'ala. Oh nafs, don't do this, fear Allah Ta'ala. He would address himself. So that was his way of, you know, controlling his nafs and controlling his desires. So one day, as usual, he left his house to go and earn his livelihood, to go and earn and sell his goods. As he was walking, he reached the door of a wealthy man and he called out to sell his goods. When the wealthy man's wife saw the handsome man near her house, she called him inside the palace saying, Oh trader, my heart has become inclined towards you. I possess abundant wealth and the finest garments. Leave this work and I will give you silk garments and a great amount of wealth. Upon hearing this offer, his nafs was drawn towards the woman. But immediately as per his habit of addressing his nafs, he said, Oh nafs, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he replied to the woman and said, I fear my almighty Allah. The woman said, You cannot leave without fulfilling my desire. So once again, he said, Oh nafs, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And somehow he started thinking of a way out that, you know, how can I escape this plan? How can I escape this place of this woman? So eventually he said to the woman that, give me some time so that I may perform wudu and perform 2 rakat of salah. So the woman gave him the permission that, okay, you can do it. He performed wudu. He went up to the rooftop after offering 2 rakats of salah. He looked down from the roof and he saw that he was approximately 20 yards high. So he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of helplessness. Majboor tha, bebas tha. He said, Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have been engaged in your worship for a long time. Grant me salvation from this trial. Saying this, he jumped off the roof. And Allah Almighty commanded Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam that go and save my servant before he reaches the ground, for he has jumped out of fear of my displeasure. So Jibreel alayhi salam came swiftly, caught the man and placed him gently on the ground. Saved from this trial, the man joyfully set off home. When he arrived, he saw that his family was distressed due to severe hunger and thirst. After sitting with him for some time, his neighbor came and asked the worshipper for some bread. The worshipper replied, "By Allah, we have nothing to eat. Have a look inside the oven. There is nothing in there either." The neighbor walked towards the oven and saw baked loaves of bread inside. So he informed the worshipper about this. When the family witnessed this, they were amazed. The worshipper's wife said, "Surely this is not due to any effort of ours. Rather, it is because of your blessings and miracle. Tell us, what is its secret that we have this freshly baked loaves of bread with us?" Thereupon, the worshipper revealed his secret and relayed the entire parable through whose blessings these favors were bestowed upon him. How wonderful is this incident? And, you know, we learn from this incident that the person who, you know, reviews his actions with reflection, he ponders, he looks at himself, he does muhasabah, he does that self-accountability, and at all times he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this quality is such that it saves the person from the difficulties, from the trials of this world. And it also becomes a means of benefit of the hereafter. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And we also learn that by developing the habit of renewing one's actions of doing self-accountability, a person is protected from sins. We heard now that when that rich man's wife called him and said, "Come to me and do this and do that, you cannot leave, you know, I'm in love with you," whatever the case was, then immediately what he did was he asked himself and he told himself, "Oh nafs, fear Allah Ta'ala." For a second that inclination was there. As human beings, you know, shaitan is always with you. Shaitan always wants to trick you and trap you. So for a moment he might be, you know, inclined towards it, but immediately he turns towards his nafs and he says, "Oh nafs, fear Allah Ta'ala. This is not what you're supposed to do. This is not what you were created for. This is not how you were supposed to live your life." So immediately the self-muhasabah and self-accountability comes, and the fear of Allah Ta'ala overwhelms, the fear of Allah Ta'ala overpowers the person, and then what happens is the person is saved from sins. Then what happens? Allah doesn't just save the person from sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends help also from difficulties and calamities. When he jumped from the roof, which was 20 yards high, he could have been injured. He could have died even. 20 yards. But Allah Ta'ala sent help that no, he is going away from that place which will earn my displeasure, which will earn my wrath. So out of my fear and for my pleasure, he is moving away from this place. So my help is going to come for him. The Jibreel Islam came and brought him safely onto the ground. So a person is saved from sins, a person receives divine help, and the cherry on top of the cake is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants blessings in rizq and in the sustenance of the person as well. A person always, you know, in this world, many people complain, "Munasab, you know, business is quiet, Munasab, dukaan pe koi ghaak nahi aa rahe, koi customers nahi aa rahe, Munasab, quiet ja raha hai aajkal." That's what people say, unfortunately. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us and tells us, you know, that if a person has this fear of Allah Ta'ala, a person has this taqwa, a person has this feeling within himself, that Allah Ta'ala blesses him with rizq and with sustenance from those places where he could never ever imagine. The Holy Quran is witness to this. Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah 2 and 3 of Surah Talaq, in the 28th paragraph, Allah Ta'ala says, "And whosoever fears Allah, he will create a way out for him, and he will grant him sustenance from where he cannot even imagine." It is mentioned in Tafsir Surat al-Jinan regarding this verse. The one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being given the glad tidings that Allah Ta'ala will provide him sustenance from where he would never ever imagine. That is where the sustenance is going to come to him from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how many benefits there are? Protection from sins, divine help, risk and sustenance, and then respect is also given. So many things a person is given when a person does not cross the boundaries of Islam. When a person does not cross the boundaries set and the limits set by Allah and His beloved Rasul, when a person adopts taqwa, fear of Allah Ta'ala, when a person does self-rectification and self-contemplation, then a person attains all of these blessings and wonders from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to look at ourselves. You know, unfortunately, today people are complaining with household expenses. People are complaining that, you know, munasab kharchai pura nahi hota. We cannot cover our expenses. We're earning thousands and thousands and thousands. But still, we're always in debt. We're always in loan. We're always in this problem, that issue, this issue. So many issues. And to turn and ask ourselves, are we not committing deeds which are against the teachings of Islam? Are we not disobeying Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Are we not going against Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And when you look, the answer will come, yes, definitely you are doing all of this. So it's time for us to wake up. Besides the month of Ramadan, as believers, as mu'mineens, our duty that we must always live the life which is in accordance to the teachings of Islam, the teachings of Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, Ramadan is one way. It boosts us. It's basically that boost which comes in the middle of the year that it keeps us running until the next year. So the boost is there, but it doesn't mean the boost must only be there for that month. You see people, you know, in the month of Ramadan, they won't shave. Mashallah, the beard will grow. And come after the month of Ramadan, the beard is gone down the drain. We see people in the month of Ramadan performing 5 times salah. They're in the masjid. After Ramadan, they're gone. You never see them coming in the masjid. Only in Jummah sometimes. You see people in the month of Ramadan sitting with Quran, they have the tawfiq is there. The environment, the blessings are there. People are opening the Quran, reading the Holy Quran. And come after the month of Ramadan, everything is gone. For those 11 months, we forget the Quran, we forget namaz, we forget everything, ma'adallah. So that's not how we need to be. That's not how we are supposed to be. That's not how, you know, we as Muslims are supposed to live our lives. Now just think for a moment, you know, if the doors of rizq were not closed for us, what would that mean? It is mentioned in the blessed hadith, La yaruddu al-qadra illa du'a. Nothing changes destiny except supplication. Wala yazidu fil umri illa al-birr. Nothing increases lifespan except righteousness. فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقَ بِالذَّنْبِ يُصِيبُهُ. Indeed, a person is deprived of sustenance due to a sin that he commits. So it becomes clear that if you desire financial prosperity and blessings and you wish to be saved from calamities and deprivation of sustenance, then you need to rid ourselves and we need to establish a strong connection with the ibadat, with the ita'at, with the good deeds, with the obedience to Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So you need to understand this. And then if you come to how to save yourself from sins and how to do good deeds, then it brings us to our topic, which is self-rectification. If a person does self-accountability, self-rectification, that is a way in which a person will start increasing his good deeds and a person will start decreasing his bad deeds and his evil deeds and his disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The importance of reflecting upon your actions can be understood from the fact that the Holy Quran and the Hadith encourage it. Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah Hashr, 28 para, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullaha wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat li ghad. Translation, oh you who believe, fear Allah. Every soul must look at what it has sent forth for tomorrow. In this blessed verse, it is commanded that we need to take account of yourselves before you are taken to account and contemplate on how much provision of good deeds you have gathered to present in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. It's mentioned in Tafsir Surah Al-Jinnah. From this verse, it is understood that spending a single moment in reflection is better than performing a lot of zikr. Reflecting upon your deeds is a highly virtuous act. Thus, in fact, is muraqabah. Many a times, Nabi Sallam repeatedly encouraged, you know, self-accountability. That we need to do this self-accountability. Inshallah, we will carry on our discussion. We'll take a short break. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Mustafa. مصطفى يا رسول الله مصطفى يا رسول الله میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ ہوں مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ ہوں ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں ایسی ایک نعت لکھنے کی یا رب مجھ کو توفیق دے زندگی ایسی ایک نعت لکھنے کی یا رب مجھ کو توفیق دے زندگی میں ان کی زلفوں کی خوشبو سونگھاؤں ان کی زلفوں کی خوشبو سونگھاؤں ان کے قدموں کی آہٹ بتا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ جگمگا دوں وہ میری شاعری میرا فن ہے میں سخن ہوں وہ جان سخن ہے وہ میری شاعری میرا فن ہے میں سخن ہوں وہ جان سخن ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہیں کا دیا ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہیں کا دیا ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہیں پر لوٹا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں قافلے جا رہے ہیں مدینے اور حسرت سے میں تک رہا قافلے جا رہے ہیں مدینے اور حسرت سے میں تک رہا ہوں یا لپٹ جاؤں قدموں سے ان کے یا لپٹ جاؤں قدموں سے ان کے یا قضا کو پھر اپنی صدا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ ہوں مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ ہوں ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں میری بخشش کا ساما یہی ہے میرے دل کا بھی ارماں یہی ہے میری بخشش کا ساما یہی ہے میرے دل کا بھی ارماں یہی ہے ایک دن ان کے روزے پہ جا کر ایک دن ان کے روزے پہ جا کر ان کی نعتیں انہیں کو سنا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ ہوں مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ ہو، ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں، ہے تمنا کے ڈھل جاؤں یا رب، پہ کرے اسوہ مصطفیٰ میں، ہے تمنا کے ڈھل جاؤں یا رب، پہ کرے اسوہ مصطفیٰ میں، مسکراؤں اگر سنگ برسے، مسکراؤں اگر سنگ برسے، ہر برے کو بھلی سے دعا دوں، میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا ہے، میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا، مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ، مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ، جگمگا دوں،
کاش آئے جب ان کی سواری، حدیب ان کے قدموں کے نیچے، کاش آئے جب ان کی سواری، حدیب ان کے قدموں کے نیچے، کھینچ کر روح کو تن سے باہر، کھینچ کر روح کو تن سے باہر، اس کی چادر بنا کر بچھا دوں،
میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا ہے، میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا، مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ، مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ، ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں.
صلی اللہ علیہ حبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Very wonderful kalam we're listening to just in the break. Before the break, we were discussing self-rectification and self-accountability, of how a person can, you know, try and rectify himself, try and make himself better, and try and go closer to the court of Allah and the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We did say we are going to discuss some hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before the break, we heard and listened to a wonderful ayah of the Holy Quran, some ahadith and some blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding self-accountability. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, when you intend to do something, reflect upon its outcome. If it is good, then go ahead with it. And if its result is bad, refrain from it. Likewise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, an intelligent person should have a portion of time in which he performs self-accountability. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says, to contemplate about the matters of the hereafter for a moment is better than 60 years of worship. So all of these narrations, all of these ahadiths, all of these words actually ask us to do self-muhasaba, self-accountability, and contemplate, think about the hereafter, think of the akhirah, think about the punishments, think about the mercy, think about the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, think about your actions. All of this, just thinking itself is something great, because this thinking will eventually lead you to do something which you are going to rectify yourself, and you are going to try to make yourself a better person. So from the ayah which we learned, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ, from the commentary, from the sayings of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it becomes clear that Islam encourages, and not just encourages, rather strongly encourages self-accountability. Why? Because through it, a person begins to avoid sins. Performing good deeds becomes easier. A person becomes mindful of fulfilling the rights of Allah and the rights of his servants. Fear of Allah Almighty enters the person's heart. The outward and inward states of a person improve. a mindset forms to prepare for death before it arrives. One develops a mindset of following in the footsteps of the pious. Good habits are formed. One becomes inclined to rid himself of bad traits. In short, self-accountability, through self-accountability, ease and success is attained in this world and in the hereafter. So it's something very important. It's not something which we can overlook, something which we can, you know, decide to not listen to, or something which we can say, okay, it's fine, I'm not worried about it or something. No, it's something which we need to take seriously, something which we need to really instill in our teachings, in our lives, and in part of our lifestyle and routine. What is self-accountability now? Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he writes in his renowned book Ihya Ulum Sharif, subhanallah. He says, the reflection that is done in order to recognize the abundance of deeds, their quantity and their increase or decrease, is called muhasabah, self-accountability. When a person places the deeds of his entire day before himself, so that he may become aware of what is lacking and what is excessive, this is muhasabah. So, you know, the pious predecessors, they also encouraged it. And they also told us this is what we need to do. Now, if you listen to a few accounts in relation to this, Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, I once entered a garden where I heard the voice of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There was a wall between us, and he was saying, Umar, the son of Khattab, and the position of Amir al-Mu'mineen, how excellent indeed. O Umar, fear Allah Almighty, otherwise he will subject you to a severe punishment. Allah, Allah, Allah. Who is this Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab? That personality under whose rule Rome and Persia was conquered. That personality under whose hukumat and rule Islam, you know, was victorious. And Islam spread throughout the world. This is that Sahabi from whose shadow the devil would run. This is that Sahabi to whom the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the glad tidings of Jannah. This is that Sahabi for whom the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the following dua: O Allah, grant honor to Islam through Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he is also the one in accordance with whose opinion verses of the Quran were revealed. This is his status. But despite having such a high rank, such a high state, Sayyidina Umar Farooq would hold himself accountable for his deeds, and he would advise himself saying, O Umar, remain fearful of Allah. O Umar, remain fearful of Allah. You are the Khalifa of Islam. You are the Khalifa. Where is Khilafat and where is Umar? Where is the leadership and where is Umar? Where is the rulership and where is Umar? In other words, you know, you are not even worthy of this. So much ajizi, so much inkisari, so much humility, so much humbleness in a person's character. That's why Allah Ta'ala has granted him the excellence which is beyond our understanding. The excellence in this world, the excellence in the day of Qiyamah, the excellence in Jannah, the excellence, you know, until today we are speaking about him, we give examples, we discuss him. Until Qiyamah we are going to carry on doing that. We love him, we love his family, we love his children, we love, you know, all the Sahaba Ikram. But Sayyidina Umar Farooq, because we're discussing about him now, he is that personality who wasn't always a Muslim. And he accepted Islam in a later stage of his life. Not when he was a young boy. Not when he was born as a Muslim, no. You know, he was a warrior, he was a brave person. And he chose to leave all of that and come in the court of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And from the enmity, from the hatred, ma'adhillah, it turned to love and devotion. And how much love and devotion that he became such a great sahabi, that the Holy Quran, some ayat and wahi was revealed according to his opinion, corresponding to his opinion, in support of his opinion. That he is next to the beloved Rasul in the blessed grave, in the blessed Mazar Mubarak, next to the blessed Rauza Mubarak. He is that personality who is going to be hand in hand with the beloved Rasul on the day of Qiyamah, when everyone is going to rise from the graves. He is that personality from whom Shaitan used to run away. That personality who is guaranteed Jannah and given the glad tidings of Jannah by the beloved Rasul in this world. Such a honorable and great personality. So if you look at his life, you look at his, you know, entire lifestyle, and then we look at the humbleness which he had, the amount of self-accountability, self-rectification he used to do. That even if someone ordinary would stand up in his rule, in his, when he was the leader, when he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, if someone would stand up and question him, and immediately he would cry out to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would, you know, do ruju. He would turn away from his words if he felt that his words were not appropriate. So who does this? A person like me and you today, if we have ownership, if we have kingdom, if we become a king or a ruler, we will be on top of the sky. We won't even look at the people. We'll consider everyone under our feet. That's how we will be, unfortunately. But these are the people. That's why Allah Ta'ala had chosen them to be the Sahaba of the beloved Rasul. Allah Ta'ala had chosen them as the perfect role models for the Ummah and the nation of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is something which we need to ponder and really ask ourselves, you know, that are we following in the footsteps of these pious personalities? Sayyidina Tawbah bin Simma rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi performed self-accountability one day. He calculated that his age was 60 years. And then he calculated that it amounted to approximately 21,500 days. He cried out, "If I have committed just one sin each day, then I will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with 21,500 sins. And if I committed 10,000 sins every day, what will become of me?" After saying this, he fell unconscious and passed away. The people heard someone saying about him, "O person, proceed towards Firdaus al-A'la." Undoubtedly, you know, we cannot imagine that he was involved in sins. The wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, they are protected from these kind of things. Yes, they commit mistakes, they can do mistakes, but you know, it's not something normal for them to go and commit sins openly and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, it's not like how we are. Our day and night is filled and we live in sins. But these are the people whose lives were pure. And the moments were pure. They would look for those opportunities to go and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, despite living such a pure life, what is his condition? That if I commit a single sin a day, 21,500, and then if it's 10,000 sins a day, where is my amount going to reach? And how am I going to face Allah Ta'ala? And then you fall unconscious and you leave this world. So much fear, so much taqwa, so much ikhlas and sincerity. We do not have all of this here. Today, our entire day, you know, in the olden days, people could somehow avoid themselves from sins. Because obviously the means were not as easy as it is today. There were no cell phones, there were no tablets, there was no media and all those kind of things. So if someone had to commit a sin, he had to physically go to their place. Today we open our cell phone and in the cell phone we have hundreds of musics and songs and videos and this and that. And every filth is present. You want to see something, we just search and it's there. You want to watch something, it's there. We want to do anything and it's on our devices, unfortunately. So in the comfort of our homes, on our chairs, on our sofa, we can do every wrong thing. In the olden days, at least this wasn't there. If they had to see something illicit, ma'adallah, then it wasn't in front of them. It wasn't on the phone. They had to go to certain places, travel, do this kind of things. So alhamdulillah, they were saved from sins. And I would say their time is a million times better than our time. Yes, we have technology. We have the ease, we have the comfort, but they had the opportunity of protecting themselves from sins, which we do not have in today's time, unfortunately. So, in their time, if he is saying 10,000 sins, then in today's time, our sins will be 100 to 100,000. Even more than that, because we do not know how many sins we are committing a day. Look at one gathering which we have, in which we sit with our friends and colleagues and that. One person is lying, one person is, you know, mocking the other, one person is hurting the other brother, one person is backbiting, everyone is backbiting, everyone is listening, everyone is joking about so-and-so person who's not here. No, what is all of this? How many sins you are committing that one gathering you have? And then your namaz, we don't read, zakat, we don't pay, hajj, we're not going for, parents, we're disobeying, insulting the wife, insulting the children, troubling our Muslim brothers, stealing, robbing, deceiving, backbiting, lying, tale-telling, so many things we are doing. And then we're sitting freely at the end of the day, alhamdulillah, my day was good today. How was your day? Good. I earned lots of money. I made lots of money today. That's not the real success. The real success was supposed to be that today I lived my life. And after doing self-accountability, yesterday, for example, just to give an understanding, yesterday I did this wrong. Today I rectified myself in these things. Today I rectified myself in this thing. Today I rectified myself in this thing. every day take one thing, take two things, slowly, slowly. Not asking you in one day to leave everything and become a perfect person, it's not possible. Yes, the fadl and the karam of Allah Ta'ala is with you. It takes a second for a person to turn, not even a second, and the person can become a wali of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But we're talking realistically, normally what happens? It's slowly, slowly a person changes his habits. Slowly, slowly a person starts turning away and he starts, you know, maybe first I have to spend 2 hours on my phone. Today I spent 1.5 hours only. Tomorrow I spend 1 hour, then 30 minutes, then 10 minutes, then 5 minutes. Then it comes to a time where only if I need something important, I open my phone. Otherwise, I'm not busy with my phone. So it takes time to turn away from these kind of things and go towards the straight path, the path of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But the effort needs to be there. The continuous effort needs to always be there. So we make dua. May Allah Ta'ala enable us to have this self-accountability, and may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala enable us to do muhasabah of ourselves and contemplate on ourselves, and may Allah Ta'ala enable us to do self-rectification. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbal Alameen. Inshallah, we will carry on our discussion. We'll take a short break, listen to a few beautiful Madani pearls, and when we return, inshallah, we will then carry on our discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
In today's world, mental health has become a significant focus, affecting millions of people, regardless of age, background, or belief. Now, stress, anxiety, depression, these struggles often weigh us down, leaving us feeling disconnected and lost. Islam emphasizes physical health and the health of our mind and soul. Mental health is as important as spiritual and physical well-being. The Holy Quran and the Blessed Sunnah guide us towards balance, peace, and understanding, offering remedies for both internal and external struggles. One of the most powerful verses in the Holy Quran is the verse that says, "Verily, in the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find peace." This profound message reminds us that turning to Allah Almighty and engaging in acts of worship, such as salah, dua, and the recitation of the Holy Quran, this can bring a sense of tranquility and calm to our troubled hearts. From the Islamic perspective, our mental struggles can be seen as trials. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the greatest reward comes with the greatest trial. When Allah loves people, He tests them. These tests allow us to grow closer to Allah Almighty, seeking His help and mercy, while also building resilience and strength within ourselves. It's also important to remember that seeking help is a part of Islam. As emphasized, addressing mental health issues isn't a sign of weakness, but a recognition of our humanity. We are encouraged to seek support from medical professionals or trusted individuals while continuing to rely on the guidance of Allah Almighty. Science confirms the wisdom of this approach. Now, studies have shown that regular prayer, mindfulness, and meditation, elements found in Islamic practice, have proven benefits for mental health. According to a study published by Harvard Medical School, mindfulness can significantly reduce stress, anxiety, and even symptoms of depression. Similarly, the World Health Organization recognizes the importance of community support, which Islam also highlights through the concept of ummah, meaning a collective responsibility to care for one another. Being part of a strong community, attending congregational prayers, and forming meaningful bonds can play a vital role in improving mental health. When we examine mental health through the lens of Islam, we see a path of hope, healing, and connection with Allah Almighty. Whether reciting the Quran, engaging in dhikr, or simply making time for self-reflection and dua, Islam offers ways to cope with life's challenges while reminding us to seek professional help. In times of difficulty, remember that Allah Almighty is always near. And let's take the steps necessary for our mental well-being by embracing spiritual and worldly solutions. May Allah Almighty grant us all peace of mind and strengthen our hearts through His love and mercy. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, welcome back to our silsila. We have the last few minutes in our program in which we were discussing self-accountability and self-rectification. Just one narration I want to keep in front of you, and then inshallah we'll move towards the conclusion. It's mentioned in Hilatul Awliya about Sayyidina Abu Muslim al-Khawlani rahmatullahi ta'ala, that he kept a whip in his masjid and he would say, I am more deserving of this than four-legged animals. Whenever he felt any laziness, he struck his calf with the whip once or twice. This is punishment to himself. People would say this is torture. This is actually torturing the nafs, controlling the nafs so a person can become closer to the court of Allah Ta'ala. Think for a moment, you know, a businessman and those who do business, you know, it's how important it is. You have to keep a record of everything. The record of the stock you have, the record of the sales, the record of if there's any lending taking place, the record of that, the record of the profit, the record of how much sale has been done, the record of what has been sold, everything, you know. And sometimes you have to do this every day. In the morning you open the shop or you open your business, and towards the evening, you know, you do everything, or you have your year end, you do the accounts for the entire year, whatever the case is. And you can't just do it verbally. Sometimes you have to write it down. Sometimes you have to make sure it is written somewhere. Then you see, okay, we're lacking in this center. Let's improve in this place. We have a problem here. Let's improve there. This is going fine. This is going fine. There's more profit here. Let's bring more of this stock. You know, that's how a business mind is. So the same should be our state when we are doing something for the hereafter. That at night, sit down. Today I did this. Okay, this was good, alhamdulillah, but here I can improve. This I must avoid. This I must stay away from. This is danger. This is better. This I must increase. When a person does that, then as when you plan, your business starts nourishing and flourishing. Likewise, when you plan your life, then inshallah, your closeness to the court of Allah Ta'ala will inshallah become better. With these few words, inshallah, alhamdulillah, we reach the conclusion of today's discussion. Remember, instill the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your hearts, in your mind, the love of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala instill it in our hearts, in our mind, and may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, you must know this love is indeed the foundation, the base of everything. You have this love by Allah, you have everything. You lose this love by Allah, you lose everything. We hope to see you inshallah soon. Till then, be positive, think positive, stay positive, and remain positive till we meet again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The light of guidance, the light of guidance, the light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance.